This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey everybody, Carm Capriotto. Yes, we're back here at MAX, the 44th annual training event, MAX, the Mobile Air Climate Systems. You are in talk radio for the auto service professional. 3 days. We're in day two, 35 speakers, 70 hours of great mobile AC and vehicle thermo management training. I saw some really cool equipment down there today at the expo. Did you, Pam?
Oh, yes. Yes, I sure did. Always enjoy going to the expos.
Oh, Pam Oakes is with me. And I bet you a whole bunch of you have been trained by Pam or know Pam or seen Pam on a panel. Pam owns a company called Auto In Eng. Did I say that right?
You said that right.
Wow.io. She's all about training. So what do you do after you sell your 12-bay shop of 20 years?
Drive everybody insane for 3 months.
Oh, in the transition.
In the transition, because guess what? Everybody else has to work when you want to go golf.
Oh, you sold it to go golfing, and then somebody dragged you back in, huh?
I was there 24/7, 365.
Remember, if you earn your living in the service aftermarket, then Apex is the expo for you. Continue listening, and we'll bring you the latest from Apex 2024. Save the date, November 5th through the 7th, 2024. Hey, for over 30 years, Napa Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the best, most comprehensive SMS in the industry. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find Napa Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. The interesting thing about being here in the world, land of air conditioning, is 365, 24/7, is because you were working on air conditioning for cars, right?
In Fort Myers, Florida, yes.
Yeah.
Because as soon as we cooled down and we had the windows down doing the 255 AC, which is two windows down, 55 miles an hour, the Buckeyes would come down from 75, and they were screaming because they were burning up at 78-degree weather. So yeah. We had our phase two during the winter.
And you call them the
snowbirds?
The snowbirds, yeah. Yes. That is the common terminology when I would talk to shop owners from down here. What do the snowbirds do to your business? And we have to learn to, you know, handle the influx but survive when they're not here. And you got to have a lot of great customers down here to survive those, 6 months, right?
We were very fortunate. When I started my shop, it was just me. And needless to say, I built it up. And when I retired, I had year four, I built a 12-bay. And we had 15 of us. And we had between 8,600 and 9,600 vehicles in there for repair per year. We were doing between 400 and 450 tires a month. We were cranking.
Yeah, you were. And you said, hey, my run's over, or did you want to do something different?
I have electronic engineering technology degree, and I really wanted to do something with that. I wanted to go a little bit farther. I'm originally from the east side of Detroit, and I grew up in the garage in the muscle era. And in fact, I still have
No, wait, stop it. No, I refuse to believe that. You only look 49.
Thank you. This man deserves a raise. Thank you.
Just slide the dollar over the table. I grew up in the muscle era. Yep. There were a few muscle eras. Which one was that?
This was in the 60s.
Okay.
And I have my...
That's what I was thinking.
And my great-grandfather's 69 Plymouth Roadrunner. Still have it today. And goes out occasionally on a Sunday.
Damn.
Because of traffic. I don't want anybody driving near it anymore.
Last night, I tell this story about the interview that I did with Giuliano Zuccato, one of the original clay sculptors on the Premier Mustang, before it ever came out. Telling the story about Lee Iacocca and Henry Ford II. And I'm reminiscing this story about how I met Giuliano and how he came to the U.S. I'm almost bawling because he died. He ended up becoming a great friend. And then he tells me the story that he retires from Ford. He bids on the Crossfire from Chrysler. He gets it. They send him to Italy to a castle with a bunch of teams, and they design the Crossfire. And during this whole relationship that I had and the friendship that I had, he gets glioblastoma of the brain, stage four, and he's gone. I went to his house to record the Crossfire episode, and it was tough.
It was a huge loss. It really was.
Anyway, Tracy and I said we got to re-release that episode. It was done. Episode 172, we're at 900-something, so that was a long time ago. We should re-release it for so many new fans of the show.
You should. I vaguely remember that.
Wow, cool. Anyway, I want to jump to one of the most important topics I want to cover with you. And Pam can sit here and talk circles around me about ASE subject matter. I want to talk about that and the training that you're doing and the passion you have to help people in the industry bring technology information to the people who need it. But she also does 609 training. And I'm here in the place where people would talk 609 like we would talk barbecue in Texas, because this is the event to talk about that. And you're also doing the training. And because I'm in the studio here doing all kinds of interviewing, there's this big meeting. The EPA was here, I believe. And we have to stay connected to the EPA as relates to the freons and collection and recycling. So my question to you, is there a 609 police force?
Yes, there is a Santa Claus. They're alive and well.
Okay.
And they have two methods. And I'll give you a story here. I was in Vegas teaching HVAC last February. And it was a three-part. We did beginning, intermediate, and advanced. Long story short, the beginning class, and I was telling the story how the EPA, they have two ways of doing this. They'll come in and say, let me see your 609 certificates to a shop. Now, it doesn't matter if it's a dealership or a mom and pop. They check everybody out. The second one is they'll do the bait. They'll say, yeah, God, it is so warm out there. Could you just top off what you're not supposed to do? Top off my AC. Just get it running for me. I'm burning up. And so what they do is, yeah, sure. They'll write them up and then the tech will grab the ticket, drive it into the shop, and they're acting like one of those impatient customers, like, is my car in there yet? Is somebody working on my car? They're looking. And what they're actually doing is they're watching to see who connects the manifold gauges to the car.
Got it.
And then they come over and say, I'm Pam Oaks. I'm not EPA. I'm Pam Oaks from EPA. Can I see your 609 certificate, please? You're done. You don't have it. You're done. Because you need it. Everybody says, oh, yeah, to purchase refrigerant. It's no, you need it if you are getting paid and you're working on a vehicle. And we're talking about you get a gift card, you get one thin dime, you get a six-pack. That's payment. So if you're getting paid, you better have your 609. So I was explaining the story and how you have to have your triple R machine registered with the EPA and everything else. And they're like, oh, yeah, she's just talking. The next day, evidently the EPA was in town, and one of the shops, because they didn't have their machine registered, was fined $10,000, and they had to have the machine removed from the premises, literally off property.
Because it wasn't registered.
Because it wasn't registered. That's what that particular agent did. Each one depends. Wake up on the wrong side of the bed.
Look, it's a great story. I love it. It scares the shit out of people. But how many EPA people like that are out there? Are there 50? Are there thousands? No one knows, huh?
No one knows. And a friend of mine works at the Atlanta office. The Clean Air Act went from $44,000 to $95,284. That's a Clean Air Act. And that's including emissions and everything else. But that's including refrigerants and venting and so on. The whole thing is you don't vent. That's what we're trying to teach.
Got it, yeah.
You don't vent. And I said, so what is the $284? What is that for? He goes, I don't know.
Oh, dear.
That's the only answer I got out of him. I don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah, they're in force. They're out there. And another situation, I was in Anchorage and I had not.
Tell me it was the summer.
It was actually like April.
Okay.
So it was nice.
Okay.
It was nice. And I was up in Anchorage and we did a diesel class. And I can't remember the other one. It was before COVID. Make a long story short, I heard through the grapevine between classes that EPA was up there and diesel shop down for tuning, Clean Air Act.
No, man. Man. Oh, just for tuning.
Yeah.
Okay. So everyone, whatever I remember about 609 when I knew I was playing in that arena is that you couldn't, parts distributor had to verify somehow that there were 609 certificates in play at the shop in order to even drop it off. Is that apply? Or do you care?
For the 30 pounders or the 10 pound 1234 IF. Yes.
Yeah.
Now,
how am I going to be the police?
Now,
if I was a supplier.
If you're a supplier, you have to have somebody in the shop has their certificate.
As long as someone has it.
As long as somebody has it.
Okay.
And then have it on file.
It means you can buy it. But then there's the rules about what you can or cannot do to the vehicle. Like you said, about topping off and the impatientness. That's a great clue to think that someone's coming in and nudging you to do something that is not proper. That would be the right word. And then stand by to get the government certified letter the next day.
Oh, it's not the next day. They tell you. Then.
Right there.
And they want to see everything.
I'd
let me see your files.
Come in your office and sit down.
Yeah.
I'm going to ruin your day.
I had a dear friend who was at a dealership, and they actually came in Tampa, and they came into the dealership about 3-4 years ago. It was at post-COVID. So they came in and they said, we want to see everybody's certificates.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there's a lot of ways to take 609. There's tons of ways. You're out there teaching it, but there's a ton of virtual classes. Am I right?
Yeah. You can actually do it online.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
$25.
$25.
Versus $95,000.
And who hosts these? Is it all the big suppliers that have 609? Is it the EPA? Who hosts these?
ASC and Max.
Okay. Perfect. Mm-hmm. We're here at Max.
Right.
Max.com, I believe. You're on the board, so what do you know about how people gain access and spend the $25 and get certified?
They just go right to the website.
Okay.
And they just, in the search, they put 609.
609, bam, it comes up. And then there's a training piece.
There's a training piece.
And then there's an assessment at the end, and you pass or you fail.
Exactly.
And then you get a certificate.
You get the certificate. It's a lifetime.
It's a lifetime. So I own the shop. Every technician, service professional, owner doesn't have to take it.
They should.
They should.
Yeah.
Okay.
They need to know. They need to know what's going on in their shop.
All right. I'm just thinking there's an owner that's an absentee owner.
An absentee. I wasn't one of those people.
Yeah, I know. Most of the industry isn't. I get that. But I don't want an owner who says, I don't want to take it. I'm not on the front lines and I don't do this kind of stuff to prevent anyone else from inside the company getting it. Mm-hmm. How about the service advisors, the client advocates on the counter? Do they need to take the 609?
Only if they're going to be literally touching the manifold.
Okay.
And applying it to the connector on the vehicle.
Because you have to know what.
It's not the vent.
It's not the vent. You touch it, you know you're putting it on for all the right reasons. Got it.
But not because I'm on the board, because I'm just newly elected yesterday.
Yeah, congrats, by the way.
Thank you. But I always advocated for everybody in the shop.
Okay.
Because there's such great information about refrigerant and not venting. And it's information that you can give over to the customer so they understand.
Yeah. Why we do what we do, why it costs what we do, and we're all certified from EPA on all the right rules to protect our environment. That's a great, it's all true, and it makes sense, and it shows that we're in this caring mode, and we bring value.
You get the certificate, and you put it on the wall behind you.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, cool. Okay, 609, board of directors here on Max, just newly elected. Now, tell me about subject matter experting. I did that a long time ago for the parts specialist, and it was a hoot. I loved it. What do you love the most about it?
I love that you get to talk to your counterparts and bounce ideas off. And everybody thinks that when you take an ASC exam, oh, it's a trick question. Oh, they're trying to really screw me up here.
Yeah.
And my first one was the L4, the original, the L4 for ATIS. And our whole concept behind there was, mainly, we wanted the technician to know what they were doing because it is a safety component on the vehicle. But furthermore, we wanted them to also learn at the same time. So there's no trick questions.
Yeah, you're right about that. And once you write the questions and everybody gets together and you start sharing those questions, you can all challenge how the question was written, what the answer really is. You may disagree with the answer. For was the L4 designed that maybe one of the questions could be the right answer?
It's no secret that ASC has a few thrown in here and there on any
their test questions.
They may not have a correct answer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a test question.
It's amazing when I started to learn about the way they would look at demographics and the pass rates, depending on where people live and their ethnicity and stuff, trying to make it as fair as they possibly mm-hmm. can for the biggest area of population. I find it fascinating, that whole education piece. Weren't you telling me something about A1?
I did the A7, the HVAC, last fall. And we're getting ready to do the A1 in March.
Over again. How many years apart do they redo them?
Be honest with you, I don't know.
Okay.
Like I said, we're getting together and we're discussing the questions. And when the final test goes out to the technician, there's going to be some questions on that exam that don't have the correct answer. And it's not so much not the correct answer, but they're massaging it with the wording and everything.
Okay. If you went to Apex 2023, then you realize the incredible commitment that Apex has to the service professional, shop owner, technician, and service advisor. Joe's Garage is your place to hang out with 10 working bays and real live working conditions. Also, the best tech companies, from tools and repair to management software, had their latest and greatest on display and demonstrated for you. You also attended technical and business management training with the industry's best and brightest trainers, coaches, and teachers.
Work is underway to make next year's Apex 2024 have even more product demos, trending training, marketing, and social media support to help you grow your career, sales, and profits. Remember, if you earn your living in the service aftermarket, then Apex is the expo for you. Continue listening, and we'll bring you the latest from Apex 2024. Save the date, November 5th through the 7th, 2024. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com.
So you sell your business, and you're probably never home.
No, I'm not.
Look at this resume. She's here, she's there, she's everywhere. I'm just blown away. Was this part of your plan?
No. I have a great support system at home. I have Peter.
You don't know how to say, you don't know how to say no.
And no, you know what it is? That's the challenge. But it's the technology. It's fabulous how it's growing, how it's maturing. There's so much out there. For an example, right now, I'm heavily involved in an ADIS project,
okay,
which I really can't talk about right now.
Shh.
But it's, you wake up and it's like, great, what's next? And that's how it really should be. Even with the technicians, they go in there and they go, another alignment or another compressor, AC job.
But this is what I do for a living.
Yeah, you need to. Even when I'd go to the shop, I was, grant you, 20th year, I was tired. And I knew that was part of my 20-year plan that I was going to sell the shop.
Okay.
I had a 20-year plan. But still at the same time, it was like, what else is going to drive in today? What are we going to see that's new that we can learn about? I don't have a life. I know.
I'm with you to a degree that I'm a perpetual student. I have to learn something new every day. And on the expo floor and with all the interviews, I'm like a little kid in a candy store. I learn things about chemical components. I'm so excited to be here to take the behind the scenes energy that's here from the trainers and from the people that are showing all their great goods. And everybody seems to agree with me. It's just another day, to your point, at the shop. What else can I learn? Listen to what we're talking about and just jog yourself for a minute and realize if you're not connected, you're not going to training, you're not going to conferences, you don't care to get ahead, to be at the top of your craft, to be all-knowing, all-seeing inside the shop, the greatest technology specialist we have and or mechanical specialist, then get out.
Yeah. Lock your toolbox and get out.
Yeah, that's why God put wheels on it.
And toe straps.
And toe straps and a friend with a tow truck and a flatbed. Yeah, come and get my stuff. I'm getting out. But if you're stuck and you're bored, then you're probably in the wrong place because no one's challenging you. No one's giving you energy. You're not in the right culture that we train, we learn, we work together. We're a team. We help each other. We support each other. We learn together.
Even at my old shop, I had people there 18 years, 17 years, 16 years, 12 years. We were always going to training. And it's not because I said you have to go to training. They wanted to go. We all wanted to go.
Yeah, we're going.
We're going. Oh, training? Great. And farther back, it's not like it is today. You can see where it's really ramped up. Delphi, they actually knocked on my door 3-4 months into my quote-unquote retirement, and they said, would you like to train for us? Because they heard that I did a program for Goodwill Industries for ASC G1.
Mm-hmm.
It's a prep course that I did a book and DVD and everything for them. And it was trying to get the technician, those tire changers, those loop techs, who really love the industry. But they can't afford to go to a formal institution to learn. So they're trying to learn everything they can in the shop. They says, what can we do to help get these guys out of that $9, $10 an hour up to a $19, $20 an hour?
And why Goodwill? Explain the connection to Goodwill.
They're clients.
Okay.
That they have that are coming in and they're looking for help. And they says, we're going to help them.
Okay. So I go to Goodwill classes. To find a job?
No, they come in and they have these micro classes like how to become a chef, how to become.
Goodwill has them.
Yes.
And I see.
And then they came over to me and they said, hey, what do you have? What can you help us with? This is, you're looking for the oil and the tire tech. Let's get them out of this rut. And they get that taste of the technology. And then they get their first ASC, their G1, their general repair, their first patch. They're like, what's next?
Yeah.
And they're going to want to go farther. And I don't know how many we put through there.
Were you in the audience yesterday for the keynote?
Oh. I'm so sorry.
You know gave that keynote?
You did. You know, I was stuck on I-4.
Elevator?
No, on I-4, screaming because it was 2.5 hours.
Oh, what happened? What happens here in Florida?
Traffic just happens.
Just plain old traffic?
Traffic happens. Yeah. Our roads are a grade F. It's horrible. And I was going, please.
All the new people moving down here from the north. Okay, I'm going to actually give you a copy of the standard that I talked about yesterday, a copy of this white paper. And anybody can download it from my website on the downloads page, The Rise of the Mechanical and Technology Specialist. And what you're doing to it with Goodwill and the language that you're using for them. And if anyone wants to even get a stronger, better boost and understand what all the different jobs that we have in our industry, you could be an A tech and a B tech and maybe a Diag specialist, OSC, and then this and mechanic. And we have all these nomenclatures, all these words that mean something different to each and every shop owner, to each and every technician, to every GS, to every lube tech. It means something different to everybody. Imagine coming home saying, hey, mom, a girlfriend or wife, I just got a job working at Pam's. And what are you going to do? I'm going to be a mechanic.
Yeah.
And the air comes out, mechanic. Mm-hmm. And I am on a huge campaign to change that language.
Good.
For two reasons, both internal and the way we can help recruit and define the roles better. And for the customer looking in who hears us use this slang, non-meaningful language to them. And they really don't know what the hell it is that we're talking about. I'm going to give it to, brake job, no problem. I'm going to give it to one of my mechanics.
Yeah.
You know what mechanics look like on TV?
Yeah.
You know what mechanics look like on movies?
Yeah.
Ain't good.
Nope. Sure isn't, is it?
So
we're lucky to have you.
I want you to read this paper and I want you to write back to me and tell me. I've had 60 people actually look at it in the last 3 to 4 weeks. And I was honored to change my keynote topic here at Max from what I was going to talk about to this, because this is just hot and fresh off the press. I got so much feedback yesterday at the cocktail party last night. My feet didn't touch the ground because people saw the value in what we should do. And to your point about learning something new every day and feeling good about your job and the owners stepping up to embracing culture and caring about their people and their families and doing everything that they can to run a smarter, better, more profitable business with the right labor rates to make the profit, to not only take all of their investments over time and their money in a much more successful retirement, college for the kids, but all your family, they need to get the same stuff from.
Yeah.
And they need to step to the plate, work their best, and you need to compensate them for it.
That's right. People don't realize that there's more modules on today's cars and light trucks than there was on the space shuttle. They are rocket scientists. I always tell everybody that. You guys are rocket scientists, and you don't even know it.
Yeah. That was my other keynote is, are we from launch to touchdown, are we a NASA shop? And I compared the whole thing of what it took in the 60s with no technology to launch that thing and to get it back and to land on the moon. And I pulled all the values from NASA and I put them up on a screen and I compared them to, are we doing the things that NASA did to accomplish this unfathomable challenge that they had? And are we playing in their sandbox? But I didn't give it because this thing that I have here, these new standard, the new language to me is the hottest thing in the world. I'm glad to hear that you could believe in that. I think when you read this and the whole impotence of this, and we're getting ready to do some episodes on this. I don't want to tease the audience, but it all started with the TV show, The Bear. Okay. If you ever saw the TV show, The Bear.
No, I've heard.
It's on Hulu. It's about a roast beef sandwich shop in Chicago owned by an Italian family. And it just changed my entire thinking on how professionalism and language will change the culture in a business. Anyway, what's next? What are you doing? You're never home. So what's your next training thing?
Actually, I'm training tomorrow, doing heat pumps.
Okay. Oh, will you teach me about heat pumps someday? Because who did I ask, Tracy? Do you remember who I asked? Was it Michael? I can't remember who I asked. Oh, my God. It's all blurring to me because we worked so hard at this. And I think it took 10 minutes to understand what the heat pump was about. And I still didn't get it.
Basically, it keeps the high voltage battery cool or warm within a certain temperature.
No, I get that. But yeah. How does it work? What's the thermodynamics? Is that the right word?
That's very good. We're displacing heat.
We're displacing heat with a heat pump, not a compressor.
Heat pump is actually, that's more of a term that they would use maybe in the 18th century. Remember, heat pumps go back far back, like into the 15th century.
They dug a hole in the ground, right?
Yeah.
That's the part I don't understand.
Yeah. So we're using refrigerant. We're using coolant, low temp radiators. Along with electric heaters, we're using a compressor. Now we have a 3-port compressor on some models.
Wow.
To help the 1234YF. And I'm actually going to have them build a heat pump at their desk.
So out of all the new cars, Pam, HEVs, PHEVs, BEVs, what's your fave? Tell me you like hybrids.
No.
Okay.
I don't have one in my fleet.
All right.
I love my Plymouth, but...
Okay.
I have a daily driver that's an ICE.
Okay.
And I have a weekend that's an ICE as well.
Okay. So when you go out and teach this, you have a vehicle to play on, practice on, take pictures on?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Just because I don't have one doesn't mean that.
I know that. Yeah. My point is, what's your favorite out of that whole thing as far as teaching or appreciating?
Out of which model?
Yeah. People told me the other day, says the hybrid's got to stay. And only because it just gets you the distance that you want.
I did an article about a year and a half ago, and I took one car company. They had the hybrid, they had the plug-in, and they had the BEV. And I compared the costs right down to the EMPG, insurance, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the hybrid actually did come out as the best investment. But I've been working on hybrids at the shop since 2002, 2003. And it's like, when I'm looking at that, it's just another vehicle. Fun stuff, Corvettes. I'm on my 7th Corvette. Okay. Now that's what gets me going. That's
I hear you. Will you ever own?
A charger.
I had you for a charger person. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Cause I
had a 71 and
yeah.
Peter had two of them. And then I just got one that's my daily driver. It's my airport car.
You're a car lady.
Yeah. I enjoy the automobile, the automotive industry. Enjoy. I just got done doing a project, which I'm still working with this group. We did 716 slides, and each one's narrated into different modules and into different classes. And it's for the, here we go, your C, your A tech within this one particular group. Yeah. And it's all about ADAS. And it takes you just what's radar. All the way up to the programming behind it, where we're sitting there, we're identifying objects. Everybody thinks that the autonomous vehicle is going to be in 10 years. If you ask DOT, it's 5 years. If you ask Class 8, the trucking industry, 10, 15 years. No, it has to learn all these objects.
I look back at the technology that hit us years ago when Apple first announced, I can't remember, what was the name of it? Was it the Mac? Was it the 2E or something? All of a sudden, this piece of plastic with this computer screen was on our desks, and look where we are today. But that evolution was 25 years to really get this level of the fact that now everything's on our phone. It seems to me, just because we can doesn't mean we should, because I think there's an adaptability, a learning curve, an acceptance curve for people to be spending the kind of money in the manufacturing of stuff that people don't want yet, or they think it's a little too advanced for them. I think people love to have the first of everything. Mm-hmm. I get that. And there will always be first adapters. But when it gets mainstream and affordable, and possibly fun. What I don't necessarily like, and I don't want to be political, is I just don't want to be told what I have to do.
What you have to do, what you have to drive. Yeah, that's
you agree with that?
Why push back with the other? Yes.
Just look at her and you know.
Hey, don't tell me this is what I need. It reminds me of a quick story. I was at, I can't remember what restaurant I was at. It was one of those real quick things. We were after work, and we ran in to grab something to eat, and we had some things that we had to do. And they had this horrible iced tea. I love unsweetened iced tea. They had this horrible tasting iced tea. And so I says, no, I don't want the iced tea. I says, it's horrible. He says, I'll just have water. And
they says, everybody here drinks it.
And they said, no, they're saying, you'll like it. It's really good. You'll like the iced tea. And he's nodding at me at the same time. And I looked at him. I'm like, what do you think you're trying to do here? I says, no, don't try to convince me that I like something when I already know that I don't. And that's how I look at
pushing
these.
Yeah, they don't want comebacks.
Yeah.
The guy's rated for that. Hey, I thought you saw you dump that iced tea. Oh. That cost us a dime.
Dime, yeah. It's like they're trying to tell you what you do. They don't know you. They don't know your taste. They don't know. And the technology, it's just so raw right now. There's so much going on. Then we have hydrogen fuel coming. Oh, it's coming. It's coming with a vengeance.
You're the second person today that told me that.
Yeah. Look what they've done with long haul in Europe since 2020. What do they have, 150 to 200 stations right now that are doing hydrogen fuel refill? When I was at Exponential last year, that's the other thing that we like to do too, is we do a little white hat hacking.
Okay.
That's another story. But anyway, we were at Exponential last year, and they had the floor like the expo we have here at Max for the hydrogen fuel. See, the thing is, let me back up here, no pun intended. The thing with the BEV, the battery electric vehicle, is that when we go autonomous level 5, this is how this thing is going to, it's going to go over the mat. It's going to go over the Mercedes-Benz mat, get charged while it's not working. It's going to be like an Uber because we're not going to be able to afford the technology.
They're going to park it over a mat.
They're going to park it over a mat and recharge it, just like we do our phones now.
Yep.
Mercedes has been doing that since 2015, 2016 over in Europe. Eventually, we're supposed to get them next year or two. But if you have a hydrogen fuel cell vehicle, somebody has to pump it. And nobody's going to be there to pump, quote unquote, fuel, okay? Exponential this past, they had 3, possibly 4 companies that had automated hydrogen fuel fill-up. There you go.
What do you mean automated?
It just did it itself. You just pulled right up and it
you pulled up. It does it take as long as fuel or
no, actually,
gas?
It takes about 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay.
Versus hours.
Okay. Versus hours versus, say, 8 minutes for
minutes
a normal
for
using gas.
Fuel. Speaking of that, why isn't anybody talking about the Porsche fuel?
Oh, you mean the e-fuel?
Yeah, Porsche. Porsche designed this fuel.
Yeah.
And quite a few years ago now, 4 or 5 years ago.
Is it the stuff that's being made in Brazil with all the
yes,
electricity?
In Chile? See,
We were just... Tracy, we were just talking about that. Derek Kaufman, great guy, brilliant man from Schwartz Advisors, came on the show 6 months ago. And he brought all the research he did on e-fuels.
Yeah.
And I mentioned to Tracy, we got to have him back on and get an update because it's fantastic to hear about it.
It's wonderful. And they want a quick solution here.
Yeah.
It's cleaner than a BEV from when they manufacture till when it goes out the tailpipe. And it doesn't matter if you're putting it in my Plymouth or if you're putting it in a Prius.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what
it
you
doesn't
put it
matter.
In. And what comes out the tailpipe? Is it just, I can't remember, but there's no harmful chemicals that
no
come
harmful.
Out. What Derek said in that episode, and it's going to go back and text my memory, but you want to go in Derek Kaufman, probably the first episode, he's done a lot with me. You'll see, I think it says e-fuels on it, or at least one of the things we talked about. It needs a lot of electricity, mm-hmm. Pam, to make this
make
stuff.
It.
And they're using windmill farms to produce the store it so that they can zap, I think, just normal oxygen, whatever they're putting into this thing that they need the electricity to break down and make this mm-hmm. e-fuels. So it's in Porsche, I put millions, I believe, in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's such an odd call for a company like Porsche.
They're putting it in their Formula Ones.
See?
And we have, it's off the top of my head, I just lost it again. Niagara Falls used to have it. They have it. Hoover Dam. Oh.
What? Hoover Dam? Niagara Falls?
The plants, the electric plants.
Hydro?
Hydroelectric. Thank you.
Thank you. See, I live yes. in Buffalo, so I just take
go.
It for granted we have good electric.
Yeah. So, I mean, they could put these at hydroelectric facilities.
There's exactly.
Yeah.
Some. Let's take the water energy to produce the electricity to produce the e-fuels. Yeah. Let's put an e-fuel plant at Hoover Dam.
There you go.
Brilliant idea.
They have the old plant there at Niagara Falls. Did you ever? We went there in the 60s.
Yeah, me too. Right? Yeah. I toured it. I never took the kids through it, did mm-hmm. I don't remember. But yeah, I was just a young person. You're driving on the actual highway in to go from, if you want to go to Buffalo, over, I forgot what the name of the bridge is. You actually
Rainbow
drive.
Rainbow Bridge?
The Rainbow, I think, is in Niagara Falls, but a little further north in Lewiston, the Lewiston-Queenston Bridge. And you drive right over the hydroelectric power plant, right over it. And I can't imagine the security that exists on that bridge.
Oh, yeah.
If somebody came over and did the dirty, probably be out of electricity.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that works. The water for the dam, by the way, the water for the dam flows into it underground from the upper Niagara River. They built two huge tunnels many years ago that captured the water before it went over the falls and pumped it into the reservoir behind the hydroelectric dam.
So is that how they shut the falls down? Seriously. Did you ever see the pictures where they shut the falls?
Yeah, I lived that. We were there. We saw that. But it never harmed our electricity because it was like 2 miles up the Niagara River where they would tap the water. And they've got these, you go on the side, these big, would you say the doors that open up and close to send the water down. When it doesn't need water, they don't open the, if you will, spigot to send the water down. How do we end up talking about hydroelectric? Oh, I know. Oh, e-fuels.
E-fuel. There you go.
E-fuels. This was blast, Pam. You need to come back and we need to talk about just about anything. This is great. Continue working hard after selling your business. You're working harder probably now.
Yeah, but I'm really enjoying it.
See, so there is life after selling your shop.
And like I said, I have the support system at home. Peter supports me 100%.
Good for Peter.
He's been in the industry 33, 34 years as well. And so he gets it.
Nice. Yeah, he understands what you do. I totally get that. AutoInEng.io supports all levels of the automotive training world. Train the trainer, train the professional tech, train the scholastic tech. That's what we need to come back. Let's talk about teaching and training our instructors at our colleges and high schools.
Oh, great. Yes, because we have ASC conference coming up and we have NACAT.
Yeah, so that would be cool to hear your perspective on that because I am so big on having this industry be involved in education. Pam Oakes, thanks.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.